Lots of fun stuff going on this weekend, including a big fundraising event over in Knoxville. Good morning. It is 8:15. It's Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumb, Nick Isher here on your Friday morning. So kind of starting our kind of middle of the year and actually heading toward the end of the year update school tour with local superintendents. And first in with us, Steve Wilder, Knoxville District 202 Superintendent. Steve, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's Friday, like we talked about earlier. I'm excited about that. And, you know, spring is right around the corner. So
absolutely.
Good morning.
Wow, it's actually literally because Sunday and Monday it's going to be spring, basically. 50 and 61 degrees. I'm definitely fine with that.
Yeah, so am I.
So we're going to talk some school stuff and district stuff and state stuff coming up. But first off, I want to talk about a big fundraising event that you've got coming up this weekend. And this is a really, really cool thing. So you're working on a new press box for the, well, I'll call it the new baseball diamond because it is. And you obviously moved it with the building of the new school a couple of years ago. So you've moved that, but you want to get a new press box set up. So you've got a fundraising event coming up tomorrow, and well, I guess there's another private event tonight. Are people still able to pay to get into that event?
Yeah, all the tables are sold. We do have a short waiting list. If we filled up another table, we could add one at this point. So if people are interested, I would encourage them to contact the district office. But we've got all the tables full right now. But the dinner tonight is at Swangitaha Country Club. Dinner's at 6:00. The Hawk, Andre Dawson, will be there. So it's a little bit smaller event. It's a little bit more private. So people who buy, you know, seats or buy a table get some more individualized time with the Hawk. Looking forward to that. And those donors who come tonight, Friday night, really pay for the expenses to bring him to Knoxville so that tomorrow morning, Saturday, it's open to the public. It's a free event. You do not have to pay to get in. But we are charging for autographs and the price varies depending on what you want autographed, whether it's a baseball card, a baseball, batting helmet, whatever. All of those proceeds go towards this press box project that we're really excited about.
What do you think he'll charge to autograph any Cardinal memorabilia?
I think we multiply that by 10 or something that.
Yeah. I was just wondering, you know. Really, really cool thing. And it's great that the event tonight is sold out. That's outstanding that happened.
Yeah, this was, we kicked around the idea of bringing in a baseball player for a while in the winter, in the early winter and the fall, and just, you know, had some ideas. And finally, it all came together. Several key people in the area that made that happen. Our board president, Pat Callahan, happened to know somebody in the Peoria area who had a connection to Andre Dawson. So that's how we first got it started. Rick Reed, our baseball coach, he and I have talked a lot about it, and he's helped with the planning. And then Troy McCreary, who owns MC Sports and works over at Fortress Bank in Monmouth, really instrumental in helping plan the event. So I'm really excited about it. Never thought something like this would happen. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool, you know, diehard Cubs fan. And
one of those.
I'm
in the minority here, by the way.
I went through extra security when I came in the door for some reason. I'm not sure why. But we
frisk when Cubs fans
And I, being a Cubs fan growing up, I watched the Hawk play at Wrigley Field. So this, you know, personally speaking, a little bit of a dream come true to meet him and spend some time with him.
Yeah. Well, you answered the question I was going to ask about how this all came together and getting him in particular. And that's the thing. Kids, it's more who you know than what you know sometimes.
That's exactly right.
But he's one of those guys that, you know, as a Cardinal fan, there are teams you might not like, which with me, obviously, with the Cubs, but there are guys that you like. I always liked Ryan Sandberg. Mm-hmm. Andre Dawson, I always liked. And then the current team, it's hard not to like most of the guys on that team, but he's one of those guys like, wow, that is so cool. And he was just such a, even, you know, he was a great player even before he came to the Cubs with Montreal. Mm-hmm. But wow, what a find for you. That is so cool.
Yeah. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Andre is the kind of guy who everybody really liked, whether you were a Cubs fan or not. I liken him to Ozzie Smith, just a heck of a ball player. And whether you were a Cardinal fan or not, respected who he was and how he conducted himself. Andre's the same way. Heard a lot about him as a person now that we've got this thing set up, and have heard just more of the same. You know, good guy, really down to earth. Yeah, he's a celebrity, he's a Hall of Famer, but he played the game because he loved the game, not because he was in it for the fame or the money, and really looking forward to spending time with him.
Yeah. So again, tomorrow, 10:00 at Knoxville High School. Things you want to be autographed. It'll cost different amounts for different things. But it doesn't cost you anything to get in if you just want to come in and Hey, there he is. That's so cool. There's Andre Dawson right there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But again, all the it's a fundraising event though for the Athletic Booster Club, and you're trying to raise money to build a new press box at the baseball stadium. So yeah, again, a really really cool event, and haven't had somebody like him around here for a while.
Yeah, it's you know, I've only been here for 8 years, but I'm not aware of anybody coming in recent years, and a lot of buzz about it out on social media and. Again, open to the public, so you can come, like you said, come in and just get a picture from a distance if you want. But if you come in and get an autograph, there's one autograph per person. So we're limiting that, just so that everybody has an opportunity to interact with him, have a chance to get a picture with him, when you get something autographed. And he's here for a certain amount of time. And you know what? If we go through the line and there's still time, you know, people can go through a second time. So, one autograph per person. If you bring a group, you know, we're expecting a lot of dads to bring kids, and, every person in the group is, you know, can get an autograph. It's just not one per group, but it's one per person. So no charge to get in, come in, you know, see him from a distance, or come in, get an autograph, and help us support this project. You know, our softball diamonds had a concession stand and bathrooms for a long time. They're a little outdated. They need some cleaning up, but they've had them for a while. We've never had that at the baseball diamond. So this is going to be a combination press box, bathrooms, concession stand, and some extra storage for the baseball team. So really dress up the park a little bit more. We've done a lot of work over there the last couple of years, and that will allow us, I think, a better shot to maybe host regional events or sectional events. So great project. So looking forward to a big crowd tomorrow.
Well, and this is one of those things which we'll get into, and we've talked so much about the budget and all those things that this is something that's, in a way, a luxury and didn't used to be. This was just something a district at one time, you could just do things like this. You could, you know, build a new press box or do things and not have to do private events and fundraisers for it. But, you know, it's state of Illinois, number one, and all that. There's just, you can go, obviously, we can go on for hours and hours about that. But it's nice to be able to have an event like this to be able to do something good for the district.
Yeah. And, you know, we did something. We didn't bring in a star like this when we built the football field, the sports complex. But the people in Knoxville and the surrounding area really helped us out, donating equipment and time to come out and run that equipment, and helped us keep the cost down. We're hoping in the long run that happens with the press box, that people will come out and help us, you know, form and finish concrete, help us lay some block, and help us roughen wiring and plumbing and things like that. We know that there will be a cost. Our architects have estimated about $100,000 based on the ideas that we have right now, although that's if we bid it out and hired a contractor to do it all. So if we raise some funds and get some people to come out and spend some time with us, hopefully we can make this thing happen this summer.
And this is going to be great, and you're going to raise a lot of money. But I just want you to realize, had you gotten, say, an Ozzie Smith, you probably would have been able to build a whole other new school building.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We're going to ask Andre if he wants his name on the stadium and maybe get another donor. But you never know.
That's cool. Steve Wilder, Knoxville District 202 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. So, again, the fundraiser coming up tomorrow, 10 o'clock, Knoxville High School, chance to meet and greet and get a picture and get an autograph with Andre Dawson. He's a Hall of Famer. Admission is free. It'll cost you to get your autograph and your picture, and it's really really impressive. Fine, and I'm glad you guys are able to get to do an event like this.
Thanks.
And again, to help raise funds for a new press box. Well, yeah. We're a little more than where we actually is. It we're officially technically we're a little more than midway through the school year.
Yeah,
is
a little bit
right?
past. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit past. So we were talking off the air. It'll be March pretty soon, and kind of sliding into the end of the year, but kind of a quiet time right now, but getting ready to get busy as budget time is coming up, where you're going to have to start working on that.
Yeah, you know, the governor made his annual budget address on Wednesday, and that always kicks off the budget process. Really been a roller coaster ride these last couple of years, and really this is year 8 for me as a superintendent. It's never really been an easy process, the budgeting process in Illinois. It's been really exciting these last couple of years, and I don't mean exciting in a fun way, exciting in a really troubling way. But for the first year, we have a comprehensive budget for the state of Illinois. We passed school funding reform last fall, so still trying to work out some of the kinks there. You know, all the schools haven't got some of that additional funding that they expected due to the new funding formula, but it sounds like that might arrive in April. State Superintendent of Schools, Tony Smith, talked about that a few weeks ago. Maybe that'll come in. Categorical funding is flowing here. The first payment for this fiscal year finally is flowing, so that's good. But you know, new funding formula is great, but if the money's not there to fund it, we're right back to where we started. So we'll watch this budgeting process pretty closely.
Well, then on top of that, also one of the announcements in the new budget is that the pension, the whole pension system that they're trying to change, and the governor has proposed that we put that back on the school districts. And one of the articles in particular I read, you got some people saying, well, it's like, you know, that kind of negates the new funding formula, kind of negates that. If we're going to have to take care of this now, what's, you know, that was kind of pointless then.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I don't think anybody would argue that the pension reform is needed here in Illinois. It's a huge cost. It's a huge part of the budget. It's the biggest part of the state budget. Something needs to be done. But there are some constitutional requirements that they're going to have to navigate those waters. But pushing those costs back to school districts, you're right. The governor's budget, I think he proposed $350 million new to schools. But the estimated cost of the pension shift is $490 million. So, you know, here's $350, but, you know, there's going to be an additional $140 million cost to schools overall. And you know, there's no new revenue stream to pay for that. It comes out of what you're doing already, which inevitably means, you know, school districts are going to have to look at things like cutting staff and expenses to make that happen. And I know some schools will have to look at increasing taxes to pay for that because there's no other way to make it happen. So this is not new. We've heard it for several years, and you know, it's just coming out after the budget address by the governor. We'll see where this goes. But like I said, this is the roller coaster ride that is the state budget process every year mm-hmm. in Springfield, and we'll see what happens.
Now, some people will say, like, well, why can't you cut some administration staff? Is there administration staff that could be cut, or is pretty much everything? All I've heard is that the state puts down these mandates that they don't pay for, so you have to kind of hire new administration to kind of make sure you're fulfilling these mandates. And there's really nothing you can do at this point for cutting.
No, that's exactly right. You know, there are more and more requirements. I think I've got a 12-page document on my computer in my office that has a list of all the mandates that are unfunded that have been passed in the state of Illinois over the last several years. And you're exactly right. Those are examples of new things that teachers, administrators, boards of education have to make sure in place. Those are new responsibilities without taking away anything else. And, you know, times change. I'm a big believer that we have to change with the times. But my philosophy has always been, if we're going to add something, we need to find a way to take away. Well, that's not happened. You know, those 12 pages list all of the new things that teachers and administrators have to do. You know, in Knoxville and in most school districts that I'm aware of, you know, saying you're going to cut administrators because they're the highest priced people in the school district, well, that sounds great, but who's going to address, you know, the attendance issues, overseeing the instructional and the curriculum programs in schools, dealing with student discipline, security, all of the things that administrators do while teachers are in the classroom doing the most important work, working with students. So, yeah, it sounds really simple, but it's just not that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about this, of people that complain about salaries in administration. It's like, oh, I must have gotten the wrong line of work. So, yes, you go and get your master's or your doctorate, and you can be. But the thing is, you guys actually, for that level of education, are honestly on the lower side of what the kind of money you could be making, because you went into education for a reason, to help children, and you could, yeah, you could go do something else and make a whole lot more money with your education. I don't think people understand that part of it.
Yeah, you know, we go through a lot to become prepared and to be qualified. There are a lot of requirements in place, some of which I think truly are a little bit of overkill, but that's, again, legislation that's been passed and changed regulations for qualifications for teachers and administrators. You know, I don't complain about, you know, my job. I went into it knowing what I was going to get. I'm, you know, as a superintendent, I'm the highest paid employee of the school district. I recognize that. But there's a lot of responsibility that comes with any position in the school district. And, you know, I think the higher you are in the organization, the more responsibility you have. And the fact of the matter is, that's where the market demand is. You know, that's when it comes to compensation for administrators, it's not just Knoxville. It's not just Galesburg. You know, there's a demand everywhere, so there's a supply and demand issue there as well.
When are the high schools going to get in line with colleges and universities that the football and basketball coaches are the highest paid employees of the district?
I know some coaches that are waiting for that day to come, and maybe it will someday, but
absolutely,
not today, no.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, and as they talked recently, in fact, at our last District 205 board meeting here about, you know, things, incentive to get substitute teachers. So I want to kind of touch on not only that, but just teachers in general. I mean, is it to the point now, it seems like in the state of Illinois, that you all not, I mean, I don't know if you're bordering on desperation sometimes hiring teachers, and then you, the substitute thing is a whole other issue. Kind of address that a little bit.
Well, that's a whole other hour long radio show. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, we've been talking about a teacher shortage coming for years, you know, back to when I became as a principal and was kind of working through the ranks. But, you know, I always tell people these days, the teacher and the substitute teacher shortages are absolutely real. You know, we struggle to get substitutes on a regular basis. We've got some great subs that have worked for the district for a long time, and they can work absolutely as much as they want to because we are so shorthanded. But even on some of the permanent positions that we have for teachers, when we put those postings out and look through applications, you know, applicant pools that used to be 20, 30, 40 people for a position, sometimes you're lucky to get two or three. And, you know, it's just amazing how much more difficult it is to get good candidates to come out. I think we've done ourselves no favor making it harder for teachers to get, you know, qualified. I'm all for high standards when it comes to teachers in the classroom, but I think we're asking teacher candidates in college right now to do much more than they need to be doing. They're spending more money out of their own pocket. Then after they clear all those hurdles, then they enter a system that asks way more of them than should be asked of them. They're dealing with social issues. They're dealing with all sorts of other things other than, you know, what I call the 2 + 2 = 4 in the classroom, you know, the basic instruction. Add on top of that, you know, the fact that teachers now who start are in the Tier 2 pension system and are going to work not until they're 55, but until they're 67, and are not going to earn as much in their retirement as the teacher in Tier 1 does today. So we've done ourselves no favors making teaching a lucrative position in those ways. I think people maybe hope that teachers are just going to keep doing what they do because they love what they do and are going to forget the rest. But in this day and age, you know, everybody's got bills to pay. They've got families and they need to pay for those. So we've got great teachers out there still, that don't get me wrong. Super excited about what we're doing in classrooms in Knoxville as well as in the area. But it is much harder today to get subs and permanent teachers than it used to be.
Well, and every year you've got somebody retiring that you have to replace.
Sure.
And I guess one of the things I've heard over the last few years is that it's not necessarily that as many young people are not going into it. They're just, whether they're going to Knox or Monmouth or Illinois State or Western Illinois, great education schools, they're leaving the state of Illinois for all the reasons you mentioned to go teach elsewhere. They're still teaching, but they're still teaching whether it's in a border state or going to a better climate or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there really are two issues there. You know, some of the universities in Illinois, I know Western in particular, is dealing with declining enrollment in their teacher education programs. Other schools, I'm from Bloomington Normal myself, so ISU is a teaching school, and I think they're still okay, maybe down a little bit, but we're not getting as many university students going through those programs. But the ones that do, yeah, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, who wants to stay in Illinois with all of those requirements when you can go, especially in western part of Illinois, you can cross the river and be in Iowa or Missouri and not have to deal with some of the requirements that you do in Illinois. So a lot to work on. And I will say that some of our local legislators, Chuck Weaver over in Peoria, who represents Knoxville, has introduced some legislation that will hopefully will get a good look and try to reduce some of the requirements for teacher education candidates. But I think we need to take a long, hard look at making sure we've got highly qualified candidates, but making it a more lucrative profession to go into.
Yeah, because it's interesting to look at teachers that, you know, maybe started in, you know, 1980, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's like it's as if the state's saying, well, you guys weren't really qualified because you didn't go through what these are. You know, that's not the case. They were still highly qualified. You still hired the best candidates you could find.
Absolutely.
So on the substitute side of things, is it a similar problem? You want them to be qualified, but yeah, you're not going to find somebody necessarily to come in. It's like, yeah, they can do all this physics or whatever. Mm-hmm. You just need somebody to take care of a classroom for a day or two, whatever the case may be. I mean, is that part of the same thing, the qualifications to be a sub now that you have to go through? Is that kind of maybe keeping some people from doing it?
You know, the requirements to sub really haven't changed a whole lot. Okay. In order to be a substitute teacher, you've got to have a bachelor's degree. You contact the Regional Office of Education. Jody Scott and her staff are glad to work with folks who are interested in doing that. They've done a great job getting those people through the requirements. That's a fairly easy process to do that. Retired teachers, as long as they've still got a valid teaching certificate, they can substitute teach. So it's not so much the requirement. It's, you know, schools can't pay substitutes really what they're worth. Yeah. And with all the other budget issues that we're dealing with, it's harder to compensate them and make it worth their time. you know, for Knoxville, we've got some subs that live in the district, so it's not a far drive. But sometimes we're calling people from, you know, farther away, you know, Galesburg or Monmouth or Kewaunee. And, you know, they're losing money by the time they drive to Knoxville, spend the day there, and then drive home. So, and it's not that we don't want to pay them more and compensate them more, but when you've got other pressures on the budget, you know, you need to take care of those first. And, you know, we're doing our best. We'd love to see some of this tier funding and the new funding formula come out more positively for us and free up some of that cash in the budget. But I think that's probably the biggest challenge right now is that, you know, subs can make a living doing something else on part-time work instead of substitute teaching. Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you budget for that? Because I know you can't predict the future how many days you're going to need a substitute. Mm-hmm. How do you budget for that ahead of time?
Good question. So, you know, we've got line items in the budget in Knoxville. I speculate that that's probably how it works in other school districts. And, you know, I look at that over a couple year history. So over the last 3 to 4 years, you know, how much have we spent in terms of substitute teachers? You know, I kind of use that as a guide when I'm putting the budget together every year. And remarkably, it's pretty consistent. If you look over a 5 year period, that number fluctuates a little bit up and down, but for the most part, it stays pretty close to an average. That's what I budget for. And that's part of why I always amend the budget with the board in the spring is to fine tune those costs and make sure that the numbers that go in the budget at the end of the year are as accurate as I can get them.
Okay. Knoxville District 202 Superintendent Steve Wilder joining us here this morning on Galesburg's Morning News, kind of talking about some things going on in the state and in your district. But, I mean, overall, feeling good about heading into this budget process, or is it kind of the same as it's been the past few years? There's so many unknowns.
You know, the other thing we haven't touched on quite yet is that, this happens to be an election year. So
that
adds a whole other curve and twist to what happens and the rhetoric that's going to get out there and the fighting back and forth to jockey for position. You know, the governor has got a strong challenger in Jeannie Ives up in the northern part of the state, and I think her campaign is gathering a lot of steam. So what's he going to do there, as well as elections across the state in the House and the Senate? So that's going to add a whole nother twist. I'm not any more confident this year than I've been in the past. I'd like to say that because they got a comprehensive budget passed last year, that they're going to be able to do the same again this year. Again, maybe the election helps there. Maybe they're going to find a way to get it done to boost their reelection hopes. But we'll see. Not any more confident than I've been in the past.
So it pretty much comes down to, okay, here's what our transportation costs are going to be. Close eyes, throw dart. Here's what we may or may not get.
I hate to say it, but with the state funding, that's what it comes down to. You know, here's what we think we need. This is what we're going to budget for, and we'll see what happens this spring. I always do a tentative budget for the board in July for the next school year. But again, that's why I always amend the budget in the spring, because I'm sometimes throwing darts at the board. I realize sometimes I'm close, sometimes I'm not. And we fine-tune those numbers to make them accurate in the spring.
You talked about the categorical payments. Does that include things like transportation?
It does, yeah. So and for us in a rural school district where we're covering a lot of miles on our buses, transportation costs are a big part of that. The other categorical costs for special education, for example, that's been rolled into this new funding formula for the most part. Transportation is the one that's still hanging out there for us. That's a big piece. I've been waiting all year for that first FY18 payment, but we just learned earlier this week that that's going to be released here any day. So that's nice. That's going to be about 18 to 20% of our transportation reimbursement for this year. So we're, February 16th, you know, a little over halfway through the school year, and we're getting our first 20% payment. Got a long way to go. I doubt that we'll get all three of the expected payments, hoping to get at least one more before the end of the fiscal year.
You know, it's hard to figure how some districts even survive without that transportation payment because, you know, one, with more consolidations now than you've ever had, and you look at a district like Rova, well, Olympia, where you've been, my goodness. Well, I mean, what, a square mileage? It's ridiculous. I don't know how some districts can even survive without that payment.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, a lot of – and. You know, Illinois populations are concentrated in Chicago and Peoria and Bloomington Normal and Springfield, but most of the state is rural. So you've got a lot of school buses that cover a lot of ground every year or every day, and that's a big piece of our budget. So, and it's been prorated since I started as a superintendent in Knoxville. We've never received 100% transportation reimbursement. So we take that into account. You know, local taxpayers are having to pick up a little bit of that state cost every year. So again, I'm throwing darts at that transportation dartboard every year, and we see what happens when the budget's done.
Well, let's talk about some of the good things, some of the good things you've seen this school year and things coming up here as the school year starts to wind down.
Yeah, you know, one of the exciting things, first of all, I want to talk about our junior high principal position. We hired that position at our last special board meeting a week or so ago. Matt Mosky has been the interim there since the beginning of the school year. He's now the permanent principal. Really excited about that. He did a great job first semester. Board and I got a chance to see how he performed, but I told him we were going to hire that out, you know, in August when he accepted the interim position. So he faced a very competitive pool of applicants, and still at the end of the day came out on top. So very excited to have him there and add some stability at our junior high school. You know, technology-wise, we've really invested a lot in the infrastructure in the school district. We went one-to-one about 4 years ago. We are at the end of our four-year leases for iPads in the elementary school and laptops at the junior high and high school. We'll be transitioning to Chromebooks next year, so we're working on getting that all planned out for and finalized yet this spring in anticipation of that. But that's allowed us to do a lot of things that we weren't able to do before. Just recently, we had a gentleman from Jupiter Manufacturing, which is connected or affiliated with Pegasus Manufacturing here in Galesburg, came over and talked with our students about augmented reality and how that's used in the business place. We talked about how that could be used in the school environment, and I got a chance to sit in on that, watch the demonstration for our students, and then talk with them about, you know, how that could be used. And I was amazed. All I had to do was start asking questions, and kids were able to put these things together. And man, you know, that could be used in a math class and geometry to see the shapes that you work with, and in science classes. I'm a former chemistry and science teacher myself. Well, you know, looking at molecules in space right now, those are things that kids have to imagine. So, technology wise, I think we've done a lot of great things and are still in a position to do more as time goes on. So, you know, in spite of some of the challenges we've got, the budget and things like that, a lot of good things going on in the schools.
Yeah, because the bottom line, you still have to educate the kids no matter what.
That's right? Exactly right.
All right. Well, when you mentioned augmented reality, I was thinking Timothy Leary was in the showing up. Good thing it's not that, though.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. This is the technology stuff,
right,
not the other.
Good.
So,
that's
yeah.
Good. All right. Well, Steve, we always appreciate your time. Again, fundraising event tomorrow at Knoxville High School. Get a chance to meet the Hawk, Andre Dawson, a fundraiser for a new press box at the baseball diamond, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 10 till what, going till about noon, is that right, or a little after?
Yeah,
that,
I would guess the autographs will go till about 12 o'clock, and then he'll talk a little bit when he's done. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't get an autograph, you can come out for free and sit in the auditorium and listen to him talk a little bit before he's done, and then he leaves. I don't know if you guys may have caught this yesterday. They are naming a baseball tournament down in New Orleans after Andre Dawson. I think it has to do with a baseball tournament that involves the black colleges in, mm-hmm. in the southern part of the country. So they're naming that after him, and he's going to leave Knoxville tomorrow afternoon and fly directly to New Orleans to celebrate that and launch that. So, you know, really excited to have him there, and he'll be there probably, I would guess, till about 1 o'clock, and then we'll get him over to Peoria and on his way home. So.
All right, very good. Well, Steve, always appreciate your time and being candid with us about things going on in the state and everything.
Sure.
And hopefully we'll, you know, one of these times we're going to get to talk about really, really good things here in the state of Illinois and all that money you've got and all the extra stuff you can do.
You know, we always do that when I'm asleep at night and I'm dreaming, and one of these days it'll become a reality, yeah. I appreciate the time, guys.
Steve, thanks so much.
You bet.